We're good friends, Death and I. Read and written by Amelia. There's blood everywhere. It's pumping out of the deep gashes and wide wounds in time with the beating of his heart. You try not to think that if the flow slows, it's only because his heart is slowing, only because he's running out of blood. He's your son, and he feels so small and so light, and he can't die because he's your son, and he's so young, and it's not fair. You feel the panic seep into your blood, and you're afraid because it might take over, fill you up, and then he'll never live. There's still hope, but if you panic, then all hope is lost. You yell at your other son to get the backseat door open and help you get his brother inside. As soon as he sees his brother, he's crying and asking, "What happened? Is he going to be okay?" And you ignore him to pull out the first aid kit and some spare shirts. When you rip open his tattered t-shirt, you see that the first aid kit is not going to help. You tell your other son to get in the back seat and give him the shirts, telling him to press down and try to stop the bleeding, and then you slam the door and get in the driver's seat. When you start the car, you catch sight of your youngest in the mirror, wailing, crying, begging in panic, "Please don't die, don't die, don't die." You feel an overwhelming stab of guilt at doing this to him, wishing you could have spared him having to see his brother like this, feeling his blood hot and slippery run through his fingers, squeezing through. The mantra of "don't die, please don't die" hasn't stopped, but it's interspersed with "drive faster, Dad, you gotta drive faster" as the car flies over the ground. Your foot is pressed tightly to the floor, and you dare anyone to get in your fucking way tonight. It seems like forever, or too long at least, when you skid to a halt in front of the emergency room doors of the local hospital. You scramble out and yank the door open, telling your son to get inside and get help. And he's covered in blood and hyperventilating, but he runs as you pull your oldest son out of the car and into your arms. He looks so pale and still, and you can't think that it's too late. You stumble to the doors, and there are doctors and nurses running towards you with a gurney. One nurse is kneeling next to your son, trying to get him to calm down. But he just wails and cries and breathes too fast, and not at all. You follow the gurney until they stop you outside, and you stare at your son as they cut off his clothes and stick a tube down his throat. Give him blood, and start sewing up the tattered remains of his body. Your other son is leaning heavily against you. He wraps his arms around you and chants, "Please, please, please don't die." The green line goes flat, and a long tone cuts into your heart like the dirty claws of the wild animal that hurt your son. You slide down to the floor and wrap your arms around your living son and cry into his shoulder, avoiding his eyes that scream, "What are we going to do? How do we live without him?" You see his pale face in your mind's eye, open and soft and peaceful, and it hurts. It just hurts so much. You think, "Dean, no, please." And it tugs on your heartstrings so hard you think they're going to break.